Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
This week I had a guest all lined up, Lisa Gaulis from New Mexico. We were going to talk to her. Actually, Brenda Meadows is the one that knows Lisa. And she suggested that we talk to her. And I thought, yeah. I looked at her website, mysoulcenter.com, and a lot of cool things on it that I wanted to hear more about. So we were all set to do it. And then Lisa said that the phones where she lives in New Mexico, she lives in a remote area, northern New Mexico, they were having some problems, and they weren't quite working right. So we will probably have to wait and do that at another time, hopefully soon, because I really want to hear what Lisa has to say. While I was looking on her site, I found that, you know, she talks about she's had a lot of dysfunction in her life, and I find so many people, I bring this up over and again, how many people that are healers or on a path to change things. It seems like a lot of them have very dysfunctional lives growing up. And is that to teach them compassion? I guess I'll have to ask her that and see what her opinion is on that. She also talks about what I found interesting. And you can go to her website if you'd like and see for yourself, mysoulcenter.com. She talks about connecting with our ET family. Our ET family. And I've heard that other people refer to that as well. And I believe, you know, we probably, if we've been around before, we probably are connected. And let's face it, we're all really connected. So I want to find out what that's about. We'll talk about that when I get her on. And then also, there's another thing I noticed on her site that really caught my eye. Time travel and the magnetic grid of creation. 15 versions of any given story. Now, I don't know if that's just in general that she's saying that, or if there truly are 15 versions. But I really believe there are many versions of our lives playing out. I've just come to understand that, I guess. And that would explain a lot of things. Here's an example. Brenda has told me that she saw me as a Southerner during the Civil War, because I know I lived in that time, and I was telling her, I'm sure that I fought. She goes, oh, yeah, you were a Southerner. And I said, really? Because some other people have told me I was a Northerner. And I've had more than one person tell me both. So, which one is it? And who's right? And I think there is no right or wrong. They're both right. And I think what Brenda picked up, and I think others that have told me this, Reverend Debbie and my friend Joy, one of my different versions. They were looking at one of my different versions. One that was a Northerner, and then there was one of me that was actually a Southerner. Boy, what a great way to learn if that's true. What it's like to be on both sides. And I looked at when I was a child and growing up and history that I learned in school, I never understood why the South did what they did. How could you have slavery? And we, I guess as a Northerner, I didn't have a lot of compassion for what they went through because I felt they were in the wrong. I sat as the judge and jury, didn't I? So, what I guess what happened is that I realized when I lived in the South for a couple of years in Mississippi, there's kind of an energy, and it's an energy of being defeated. And I had a lot of people, you know, they called me Yankee, and they joked around with me, and they were nice. But there still was like that, a little bit of resentment or something. I couldn't put my finger on it. But they all were very nice to me, very polite. And they became friends. But some people told me that they never went north of the Mason-Dixon line. They still didn't feel united. And I thought, wow. You know, and it takes a long time to recover from when you've been invaded. So I guess I could feel that sympathy of what they had, the once proud people, no longer had. Now, pride, of course, I don't always think that that's a good, I don't think it's something that we need to become better beings, but I can understand, you know, because pride is a part of ego in a way, and I think the more we can get rid of those kind of things, the better. But I can also understand some of the pain Maybe that these people, when I lived there, was in the 80s. It's 120 years after it. Some of these people probably had relatives that, you know, they carried their family and they, you know, their family knowledge, their family history, much more than we did up here in the North, at least my experience. And it was important to them. So maybe there was that pain as well that they were carrying. Anyway, my whole point on it is I started to see both sides of this thing, which I think is always the best thing. For me, it is. My mom was like that. She always looked at both, and I guess I do the same. And to me, it's a great gift because you try to see why this person is upset over here. And it's not one-sided. It never is. It usually is not one-sided. It can be, I guess. So I came away with an understanding now after looking at what Lisa said, that maybe these psychic mediums were looking at TJ in two different versions. And if I played out at least 15 versions of that lifetime, who knows what else I was doing. So I want to ask her on that. I think that'll be a lot of fun to get her take. You know, people, I talk to a lot of channels. I talk to a lot of psychics. And they all say kind of the same thing. They were going through this great shift. We're going through this great change. We're going through, the earth is becoming a place of light. We are becoming more light. You know, there's been darkness or lack of light for a long time, duality. And this is going to shift. And this is going to change. And that's what 2012 was really about. That's what the Mayans, the Hopis, the many different cultures, even the Ojibwas, were all saying the same thing. Similar. At least something similar. But you know, it's always slightly different. And that's the part where I get confused, whether it's from psychics, channels, whatever. Why aren't they all saying the same exact thing? And I've been told that depends on what level they're receiving it from, how open they are, what they can receive, what they pick up. Makes a lot of sense. But what also if they're tapping into multi levels of existence and communicating with that? Because there's so many different levels of existence. I don't know, but I think there's an endless amount or a huge amount. And so perhaps these psychic mediums are tapping also into not just, there's a kind of hard to wrap your brain around, but it's like a matrix of so many different things. And so I guess that's what I want to ask Lisa and see what she thinks about that. Because, again, it's been explained to me that it depends where you are as far as your abilities and to what you're going to get. You know, and the thing is, some psychic mediums will claim they're speaking to a collective or they're speaking to a group of beings or they're getting their wisdom from the highest place. So I find that, I don't know, sometimes. I don't know why it's so different from one to another. Part of me makes me think it's maybe the person that's doing the receiving is limited and can only receive so much. I guess that's one way of looking at it. They're not completely open. Who amongst us is, really? Who amongst us truly is operating at 100%? What I would call super consciousness. Who? And I would say Jesus was and other masters that have been here. But other than that, the average person, probably even the average psychic and medium, in my opinion, and this is limited, maybe not, you know, obviously not. And I would say the more you become aware, and this will continue to speed up, the more things will become clear. Because there's got to be one truth for all things, right? Doesn't there? Or no? I don't know. That's another thing. I used to think there was, and now I'm thinking, well, maybe there's several truths because it all depends on how you perceive it and how you experience it. So if you're not part of that experience, then your truth is going to be different. It's a lot to think about. Coming up next week, I'm going to have a show with Joy, and we're going to channel, well, we already did this. This is a pre-recorded show, but it's going to be aired next week. Robin Williams, and you're really, wow. Joy did an awesome job with that, and it's going to be a joint show between me and her. And they're just basically the two of us. We felt the need to channel Robin Williams because Robin, his passing, I just sensed, and other people did as well, there was something about it it touched a lot of people. And I think he really did. And I heard he did a lot of good things for people. We don't always hear about that. And people that are unselfish and not serving ego, they don't feel the need to tell everybody everything they ever did. So Robin, to me, appears to be a very, I don't know if you want to call it advanced and label it that, but he's been around. He's an advanced soul that really came here to bring light. And he took his life. But maybe there's more to his story. And then I've been hearing, and we heard this from somebody locally, who had a visit from Robin. And I'm going to tie that all together, because we actually ask Robin some questions. What's really interesting is who shows up. There's an old friend of Robin's who shows up, and Joy and I are just bewildered because we don't remember. I don't remember right now. I looked it up. I do know now, but his earlier life, the people he hung around with and who were connected to him. So there's another well-known comedian, actor, who shows up, who passed away a long time ago, back in the 80s. And we're bewildered why Robin is hanging with him until I looked it up. When we did the interview, it didn't make a lot of sense. And I was speculating. I said, well, maybe he worked with him. Now, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. So I think you'll find that really cool. Plus, not just Robin. There's other people, Joan Rivers, and there's some well-known figures that have been in Hollywood that also show up at this. And you're saying, really? Is that, you know, wait till you hear what they have to say before maybe you pass judgment on that, if indeed that's what you're thinking. Maybe you've been listening to my show long enough and you go, yeah, okay, that's possible. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Think whatever you want. Believe whatever you want. Also, I want to talk about the 528, and I'm not sure, I don't want to recommend this to people. I've been listening to this for a long time. Well, not a long time. What am I saying? About a week, just over a week and a half, 2 weeks. Didn't have any effect on me. I have to thank Brenda for telling me about this, and also Phil, because he confirmed that there are tones that can help our body. Is that true? And there are also tones that may hurt us. Or not hurt us, but, you know, not help us. Let's put it that way. And so I started listening to 528 Theta, which there's a link on last week's show to what I was listening. And I'm not recommending it, because if you listen to it and you get migraines or whatever, I don't know how it's going to affect you. I know for me, it was incredible. First day, didn't notice anything. Then I plugged some headphones in, like they suggested, and I listened on earbuds, actually. And the next day I woke up, and I felt I had four marks on my body. One was like a little rash on my arm, the crease of my arm. There was a little pimple-like thing on my knuckle of my, towards the top part of my middle finger. Then I had like something on my stomach, lower left side stomach. And it was like a little, again, breaking out. And then I felt something on my neck, which that's usually where I break out. And I know it's because of toxins. Toxins are coming out of my body, and that's where they come out. Sometimes in my throat, sometimes in my chest, sometimes wherever. I still get those. And I think that's good, because my skin is releasing toxins. That's, if it wasn't, that wouldn't be such a good thing for any of us. So even sometimes after I get adjusted, I find that happens when I get a chiropractic adjustment. I just know it's working. I know, and then I start feeling better, you know, more energy. Well, here's what happened. First night, I listened to it through the earbuds. Next day, four spots, I break out. Different, all over the different location of my body. Not in one. It's not like I had a rash. Not like I ate some kind of food. It's not like I got into some poison oak, which I did as a kid, by the way, and I know how bad that is. And that was horrible. And it covered my whole body. That's another story, which I'm not going to get into, but I did miss 2 weeks of school. Yeah. And it's embarrassing at that age, I might as well tell you, because here I am in seventh or eighth grade, and my mom is putting that stuff, whatever that cream was, all over me. If you get the picture, it's like, at that age, you really don't want mom. Well, I guess I could have done it myself. I don't know why I didn't. I don't know. She helped me. Maybe she wasn't putting it all. I know at one point there was a time I had like chicken pox, and I was pretty young, and she was putting that stuff all over me. But I was younger, you know, and you think, well, why couldn't I just do that myself? You know, and she's trying to make you comfortable because you're not, you don't want to see, you want, don't want mom to see you without clothes that is after a certain age. It's okay up to a certain age. And then when you get to be whatever age that is, oh, no, 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 mom. It becomes something that you're, maybe once you start going to school and you lose that innocence, I guess, I don't know. So getting back to what I was saying, after I had that experience of breaking out a little bit, then I noticed that not much, because it was the weekend, and I've been so fatigued and so exhausted in the last year, really, especially in the winter, where I think I don't get as much sunlight, vitamin D, maybe not as active. That certainly helps with your energy, but just fatigued, constantly tired, sleep, and not seeming to catch up. And what I noticed on Monday, when I went back to work, which is the absolute worst day of the week for me, I'm usually just out of it, fatigued and tired, and my brain just feels like it's not there. I felt great. I felt really, really, really good. Energy just flowing out of me. And I was bouncing around. And I hadn't felt this way in a long time. And that lasted for a whole week that I had this energy. I couldn't even sleep at night somewhat. I mean, I slept, but it took me a while to, like, calm down. It's not like it was a rush of any kind of drug you get. It was more of just feeling really, really, really good. I used to take this natural stuff called Ambrotose from Manitech, and I've seen remarkable things done with it. And it made me feel so good. It felt really the same way as that Ambrotose. And then when I take that stuff, it does make me feel really good. And it gives me energy because your body starts functioning better. I think that's my theory. And you detox first. So part of the detoxing, also one of the side effects, you might get a slight headache. And maybe you need to drink lots of water when you do this as well. I don't know. And also, you may get some body aches, which I had those as well. And I had other people have told me that as well, that when they tried it, mild headache. I had some body aches to go with that as well. And I had the detoxing with breaking out. But after all that was done, that's when I started feeling great. And that lasted for a full week. And then I think I overdid it, and I stayed up. I had a long day on one day last week. And actually, it was almost two weeks ago. And on the weekend, I thought, well, I can handle this. And I just was so tired. Eventually, it caught up with me. But I still feel good. And I've been on this for over two weeks now. Not as off the wall or bouncing off the wall like I was the first week. It seems like my body's adjusted. But I have more energy, and I'm just not so wiped out. Now, I'm still a little tired because my hours, after a while, tend to kind of wear me down. Getting up early when you don't want to go to bed early, getting up early and being forced to do that. And then on the weekends, getting up early as well. But it's given me what I think is a more healthier feeling as far as when I'm tired, I'm tired. It's not this fatigue that just seems to suck the life out of you. It's just a healthy tired. If I take a short nap or even if I go to bed, it's like I feel better. So I'm going to continue to listen to these waves. And thank you very much, Brenda, for letting me know about them. There's other ones out there. But I suggest you do it at your own pace or whatever you think. You know, do some research. If you choose to listen to these waves, that's up to you. But for me, it's made a big difference, and I feel a lot better. And now we're going into almost the third full week. Well, I guess is that right? No. Yeah, I'm going into my third, because last week would have been 2 weeks. So I think it's like almost my third full week, and I still feel pretty good. I don't know. I thought I'd pass that on because the tones seem to make sense that there could be. You know, I explained it to one of my friends this way. What if there are heavenly tones that we can tap into, higher vibrational tones that exist in the universe that we're meant to tap into to help us heal, to help us stay congruent, to help us stay connected to Source? And they were designed for that purpose. And by doing that, you know, a lot of people say we open up the chakras too. A lot of these are designed. Well, the one that I listened to, the 528, I've heard that it's supposed to open up your chakra in your stomach area, which they referred to as the, what is it called? It's the yellow. It's the yellow light one. Not the groin. It's the solar plexus. I think that's what it is. So it also obviously is going to heal, I would think, stomach issues. Or it could. So it says it's a healing vibration, and it's also going to give you more energy. And I would think if you listen to all of them, that open chakras, probably that would do that as well. I don't know. I'm not an expert on it. I'm just telling you my experience. And if you've had an experience and you want to share it, please do so, because I'd like to hear what you have to say. I'm always intrigued by new things. Wouldn't it be nice if there were things that we could just listen to? You know, people don't meditate. You can't force them to. And I try to meditate some days, and I'm tired, or I get distracted, things come up, and I don't make time for it. What I've been doing every night is before I go to bed, I listen to these tones, and they're just relaxing to begin with, so it's real easy to do. And then I might throw a couple thoughts out there of what I want in the universe. So I'm meditating as well while I'm doing this. So it's a good way to kind of like flip a switch and let the meditation go, you know, so you don't even really have to make a whole lot of effort. Makes it easy, as far as I'm concerned. But if you have something you want to share on that or anything else, I'd love to hear about it. I'm always open. You know that. And thank you for listening. Next week, we talk about Robin Williams. Truly an amazing guy. Truly, I think he was a gentle spirit. And I hope you find it interesting, because I really think it is. And down the road, we're going to get a chance to talk to Lisa again. And I just heard from Rob McGregor the other day, and Rob has two books that I want to find out about. He wrote a book called Synchronicity, and it was about, it's not synchronicity, but something with synchronicity in the title. And it talks about, apparently him and his wife did research, and they found that there was synchronicity regarding certain events in history. Like, everybody had a psychic understanding of what was going on. He said, I read part of this online, but there were approximately 900 people who refused to go on the Titanic, or they changed. And the same with some other things he listed in history. 9/11, fewer people were on the planes than normally they would have been full that day. So we have this inner knowing. I find that very fascinating. Then he's also got another book, a new book out, so we'll probably talk about that. Rob was on before with his wife, and we talked about, I think it was aliens or Bigfoot or something like that. So it should be a lot of fun with him too. And I thank you very much for listening, and I will talk to you soon. And namaste, and as I like to say, ploy, which is peace, love, and joy. And if you can find that joy, let me know. No, I hope you do. Take care.